Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 54 for July the 8th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to help guide you through this magical world of networks, servers, and all things connected. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here. Check us out and check it out at techpodcast.com. If you have a moment, please check out my website, and our website is tipsfromtheserveroom.com, where you can comment on these shows, and I hope you do so. Also, you can leave us a voice message at 724-701-0550. That's 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, and I hope you do, folks, I know you have a question out there in the back of your mind. I know there's something you are currently working on and you just don't get it, and that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to pay it forward. And if I don't know it, I'm sure one of the listening audience does know what's coming up and what's going on, and they can help you. That's why we want to do these shows in the first place. But you can email those to me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, and that is at Technoman. I do realize that usually on a Tuesday evening here at 8 o'clock, we usually have a beer selection for you that I would be sipping on as I'm doing this show. But tonight, I'm actually sipping on a Hawaiian coffee. It's a Hawaiian brew. I found it for the Keurig, and check it out and see if you might, if you drink coffee at all, you're probably going to like it. It's a nice bold roast, but I'm just doing something a little different tonight for the show instead of drinking a brew. The first thing we're going to talk about tonight is something that I believe has been plaguing me for quite a while with a client. And I found this interesting website, a very good website, actually. And the website is, I'm going to read off because I really can't pronounce this guy's name. It's arnavsharma.net. And on his website, I actually found... I didn't want that to happen here. I actually found a great article, and I'm going to give the credit to the gentleman that owns the website. It's Arnav Sharma. It's A-R-N-A-V, and then the last name is S-H-A-R-M-A. Definitely credited to him. I didn't write this, but I think it's something that's been plaguing me, and it's probably something that plagues you. And I know at work we do this all the time, and I just found out that it really is not doing what I'm thinking it's doing. What I'm talking about here is when you disable the firewall, and we talked about this back a while ago, believe me, if you have a corporate firewall, so if you're running a Cisco or a Firebox or any kind of firewall between your servers and your internet connection, so normally it sits between the router and your gear, right? That's where the firewall should sit because it's going to keep out all the bad guys. And you're only going to allow so much stuff out of your network outside. But I told you a while back that you can disable the firewall on the workstation because that gives us so much issues, especially when you're pushing out software, when you are, and believe me, I'm going to receive a lot of emails from this show, and I know that. Because a lot of systems administrators don't believe in disabling this firewall. They would rather go in there and say, look, I want to allow this, I want to allow this, I don't want to allow this, I want to allow file sharing, I want to allow print services. It's so much better just to disable the firewall on the workstation and not even worry about it. If you have that corporate firewall, that's going to protect you in and out. So don't worry about the desktop level firewall. You don't really need it. Even at home, I disable it because I have a firewall right after my cable modem that protects my network. So in Windows 7, in Windows 8 and Windows Server 2008 systems, stopping the firewall does not actually work. And this is what I've been getting plagued with my client that I've been working with, trying to get their antivirus pushed out to their workstations. I went in and I disabled their firewall on their workstations, and I found out that it's still not allowing this stuff to push out correctly. Now, what happens is, and what this gentleman talks about, is disabling the firewall service on your system actually puts the system in what's known as block mode instead of bypassing the firewall. So Microsoft is, in their weird little way, they are trying to protect us from stupidity. And they say, look, if you disable the firewall, we're just going to block everything. We'll block all the ports, and then that way you can't get into trouble. Listen, Microsoft, we're pretty smart technology people. This is what we've been doing for decades. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're doing, and we know why we're shutting that firewall off. Get rid of that. That's bull crap. Anyway, Microsoft does not support stopping the firewall service in normal scenarios, or even when the system is in an isolated DMZ, or demilitarized zone. Wow, that's a tough one. However, in Windows XP, stopping the service actually worked, but the same does not apply to Windows 7, 8, and 2008 server or later operating systems. Yeah. Stopping the base filtering engine service. This will disable policies and filtering capabilities even when the firewall has been disabled. So we stop the service, we disable the firewall, and it just blocks everything. What kind of crap is that? Now, stop the network list service. This will stop firewall in association with a profile, thereby disabling the profile policies. Now, the way we do this is very simple, and I'm going to have to find the actual link to this to put it in the show notes tonight. But the way we do this is we do this via the command prompt is how you do this. Now, it's very simple to do. And after reading this article, it made total sense to me why this would happen and why we need to do it this way. You open an administrator command prompt. Now, if you've never done this before, you might be new to computers. What you need to do is on the run command, you right-click the run command and say run as administrator. That gives you full access rights to that command prompt, that terminal prompt. That's what you need. If the user account control box appears, confirm the action it displays is what you want, and then click continue. So if it comes up and says, hey, boom, are you sure you want to do this? Yes, click the continue button. You are sure you want to do this. You are the server administrator. Remember that. At the command prompt, type the following command. You can write this down. I'm going to read it very slowly. It's netsh, so it's netsh, space, advfirewall. So that's netsh, space, add for advanced firewall, so adv, firewall, space, set for set, because we're going to set something now, space, and then profiles, P-R-O-F-I-L-E-S, space, state, because we want to tell it what state do we want it in. A state reverts to the very basic programming language of a state is either 0 or 1. It's either on or off. That's a state. So the state, S-T-A-T-E, space, and then off, O-F-F. Let me read that one more time because I know you got your pencil handy. I don't want you to have to pause the podcast and go back and rewind it. That would be silly. Let's read it one more time all the way through. N-E-T-S-H space A-D-V F-I-R-E-W-A-L-L space S-E-T space P-R-O-F-I-L-E-S space S-T-A-T-E space O-F-F. Now, profiles are normally either, and this is the profiles, because you're saying, set profiles. We're not saying set a certain profile. We are setting all profiles. These are the normal default all profiles. There's all profiles, the current profile, the domain profile, the private profile, and the public profile. We're setting those all. We're turning their state off. We're saying, look, we don't want any of your firewall abilities within our workstation. Using Windows firewalls with Advanced Security MMC Snap-in. All right, we click the Start button. We click on All Programs. Click Administrative Tools. And then click on Windows Firewalls with Advanced Security. In the navigation pane, I want you to right-click on Windows Firewall with Advanced Security on Local Computer, and then click Properties. On each of the Domain Profile, Private Profile, and Public Profile tabs, change the Firewall State option to Off. Now, it says here it's not recommended. But you want to shut this off because then you can allow the flow of your installs, the flow of your traffic. If you're monitoring workstations, we do that occasionally. You want to have access to that workstation without the hindrance of that firewall in that local network setting. And then click OK to save the changes. I would suggest use the command prompt. When you use the command prompt, it's so much easier. It's straightforward. It's very easy to do. Just remember to right-click on it, run as administrator, and it will work for you. Because if you do this stuff with the Advanced Security MMC Snap-in, that's a GUI interface, and that's probably not for all of us. Okay. Granted, it could be for about 75% of us, because most of us, the younger guys, not me, I'm an older guy at this point, but the younger guys out there grew up on this GUI interface thing where they got to click and point and click and... Folks, I don't even program my Cisco firewalls that way. I do the Cisco firewalls the old-fashioned way. I do it with the command line. But either way will get you to the same point, and you will be just fine. So don't ever think, well, I'm a GUI interface guy. I'm not a real server man. That's not true. You're just as much server guy or girl out there as what I am. I just prefer the command line. Maybe you do. It's just faster. I can do everything with one command that you could do by clicking on this domain profile, private profile, public profile tabs and clicking the option, setting it to off, the state to off. So, there you go. All right, so tonight the title of the show is Setting Disk Quotas. Why do we want to do this? Obviously, we want to do this because... And you'll see when I go through this that there's bad sides and there's good sides. Because anything we do on the server, that we can create a bad, hostile atmosphere, or we can create a really great working atmosphere. And I'm going to tell you why we did it, okay? Why we use disk quotas and why you may want to use them as opposed to why you may not. First, let's talk about a disk quota. If you don't know what it is, a disk quota is just that. It's a set amount of disk space that we're giving a certain share. So let's say we have a group of financial people that's working in your industry or your HR staff. You have one HR lady that loves to download YouTube videos. She loves to save those on her server drive. She bloats her server drive to, a terabyte. And you're going to back that up. You're going to back up all this useless garbage, all these useless YouTube videos. To you, they're useless. The reason I say they're useless, and I tell our people every time I sit down with somebody and I talk to them, I said, look, this is the way it works. If you can re-download something, that's going to help you in your job, or it's a video that's going to help you, maybe HR downloads these things, you know, to talk about sexual discrimination in the workplace. I don't know. And she wants to save them. If you can re-download it, save it to the local computer. Don't save it on my servers. Now, you're going to say, wait, Jack, you're one of these network pirate guys we talked about before that says, this is mine. Honestly, the servers are not yours. They belong to your company. Our job is to maintain those, keep them active 99.9% of the time so our users can utilize that stuff and maintain the flow of information for our company. That's our job as technologists. That's what we do, okay? It's not yours. You don't own it. Don't put your name on it and don't say, you can't use my servers. They're not yours. They're the company's. Now, with that said, what you do have to protect is the company assets. This is very important. This is something I look at daily. How can I save my company money? And I use online backups. We talked about this. I use Barracuda. I'm not afraid to tell you that. They don't endorse this show, and I don't even, you know, I've never even approached them to endorse the show. But when I use something and I truly believe in it and I love it and I love the way it works, I will tell you folks out there that I use it. Barracuda Backup at one time started as BitLeap Backup Service, BitLeap Backup. Their server had a picture of a frog on it. That was their logo, was a frog. And I love these guys. I actually talked to my wife once about buying them. And right when we were in negotiations, well, with my wife anyway, talking about to get the loans to approach this company to buy them, they were bought up by Barracuda. And I knew at that point I couldn't touch these guys. They do bit level backups. That's why it became BitLeap. A bit, so any one character. Let's say, for instance, if you have somebody at your workplace typing a document. Let's just say it's a business report. And in that business report, they get down, and today they open up and they add, July 8th, we did blah, blah, blah in business. That BitLeap server, when it goes to back that up tonight, will only back up those changes. July 8th, we did blah, blah, blah today. It's why it's bit level. It's by the bit. They don't do a whole incremental backup. They don't do a whole re-system backup. They look at the document. It's really nice. Now, with that, with Barracuda comes a price. We pay so much per gigabyte per month. Now, if I allow that user in HR to download those videos, put them on her server drive, and I have to back those up at night, I'm backing up a terabyte of information that can be re-downloaded at any given time. It's not something she created. I tell my users, the only thing that goes on your server drive is what you create. Your creations, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, whatever, I don't care. I don't want you to download your whole iTunes library onto my server because I got to back that up. And I don't want to back all that information up. That is why we have disk quotas. Very important. You can't watch. We tried to do this. We tried and we tried and we tried. We tried to go into each user folder. I found software, and if I can find it, I'll post it on the website for you guys to download. And it was free tools I found. Free scripts that you would run against the shared folders. It would tell me who has what, how much storage they're using, and I could even tell it to move files. It was great. So if you had a MOV file or an MP3 file, I could actually tell it to move it, delete it, and leave you a note in there to tell you that I did it. And that helped a lot. That helped people realize that, hey, Jack don't want this on our server, right? Ours. It's the company's. And it allowed them to understand the whole backup scenario. You know, you don't want to be the network, how can we say it any better than saying, you don't want to really be the guy that runs the server and be that computer ass. I see these guys all the time, and it irritates the heck out of me, okay? Again, we're there to support a mission. That's what you're there to do at your company. If you're not supporting that mission and it's your server and it's your way and you want to tell people they can't do this with their computer, they can't do that with your... Quit your job and go get a job digging a sewer line somewhere. Okay? Quit your job and go get a job working in a McDonald's flipping burgers. You know what? Because you're not helping anybody. You're not even helping the industry. Right? And I'm trying to pay it forward by helping you folks to understand and to do your job in the right way. Some guys believe that I need to protect my server, so I'll just turn everything off. Well, you know what? You're not doing it the right way because you got to learn how to turn certain things on and allow people to do things that's going to encourage them to use the computer and encourage them to want to work on it every day to get the mission done. That's what we do. We are called support services, folks. Now let's talk about Discworld and how do you do it if you've never used it. And when I first start looking at Discworld, I'm like, oh crap, I've never really done it. And you know, schools don't even teach it. I get interns, I'm like, hey, how do we do Discworld? And they're like, oh crap, I don't know. I'm like, you just come out of college. They didn't tell you how to do disk quotas. Come on, it's on the server that they don't. Anyway, by default, disk quotas are disabled on Windows Server 2008. You can enable disk quotas on any volume that has been assigned a drive letter. To enable quotas on a volume, you can do this. Okay, this very simple steps. In Windows Explorer, you right-click on a drive letter. Now remember, it's a drive letter. What we try to do is we partition our drives down, or if you're using a NAS, a network attached storage array or a drive, it makes it even easier. You take your volume that you have set up, and it has a drive letter. Obviously, it has to, so it can be seen on your server, right? And you right-click on it, and you go to Properties. Click on the Quota tab. Now, once you're on the quota tab of the drive property, select the Enable Quota checkbox. This enables the quota on the disk itself. Now, to enable hard quotas that can't be exceeded, this is something you have to really think about. Talk to the CEO of your company. Get other people involved. Don't make this decision on your own because it's too big for you to bake it on your own. This is the kind of stuff I take serious because remember, again, I am not that network pirate. I'm not that one that's going to say it's my way or the highway. No, I'm there to support my company. I have to get the CEO involved. I have to get the COO involved if that's not you. And you have to get the CFO involved. Anybody that has a C in their name, get them involved. Say, look, this is what I want to do and this is why. Now, to set up hard quotas, we did this once and we got into trouble for it. It's not the best case scenario. You select deny disk space to users exceeding the quota limit check. When you select that, it says, look, if we allow you to have 200 megs of storage space, when that 200 megs is hit, they don't save anymore. Your phone will light up off the wall because I've done it. And you don't do that. Just leave that box unchecked. It'll save you a lot of sleepless nights. Now, you can set the limits and the warning level. I would suggest that. You want to set a warning level. What the warning level is, let's say we have a limit space of 300 megabytes. Now, we have a limit of 300 megabytes, and we're going to set a warning of 250. So when that user hits 250 megabytes, they will get a warning on their screen that says, hey, look, you're almost at your limit of your disk. And that disk is almost full. You can't use any more once you hit that. Click OK to enable the quotes. You will be prompted one last time to confirm it. Check the confirm button. Now that's on the disk. Let's talk about setting per user quotas. You can set a quota limit on an individual user. Or you can have limits apply equally to all non-administrative users. Now, non-administrative is not saying you have a CEO and a COO and a CFO of your company. Those are administrators of your business. An administrator, to the server's eyes, is somebody that you gave access as an administrator. So non-administrative user, okay? So if it's a normal domain user, that is a non-administrative user. Because he's not set as an administrator. I don't care who the man is or the female is. They are not an administrator. Unfortunately, you can't set limits on groups of users. And this is a pain in the backside. They need to get this remedied. What that's simply saying is very easily is if I have one user, which is this is how I build my structure and my hierarchy of my folders. I create one called administrative share. I create one called user share. I create one called finance share. And I create one called HR share. I would like to have that top level set, and it would adjust all those users under it, but it doesn't do that. All right. You have to do this by the user. So the user has to be set initially. So to set quotas on individual users, all you got to do is follow these very simple, easy steps. In Windows Explorer, right-click on the drive letter and open the properties of that drive. Click on the Quota tab, and then right-click on Show Quota Settings to bring up the Quota Settings dialog box for that disk. Next, click on Quota Entries to open the Quota Entries dialog box. To modify the quota for a user already listed, and you'll see the users listed in there for your server, select the user, click on Properties to open the quota settings for that user. Set the quota for the user and click OK to return to the Quota Entries dialog box. The quota settings dialog box for an individual user. Now, to create a quota for the individual user who doesn't yet have one, who needs a quota different from the default for the disk, simply click New Quota Entry. Now, this is one of those case scenarios. Let's say we did the disk, and I said that disk itself. See, now, here's where you get kind of touchy here, because the disk, you're going to say that disk quota is going to be whatever, 200, 500 megabytes, a gigabyte, whatever you want to make it. I don't know. But the individual user, you have the COO that, you know, he wants to keep movies, or he wants to, and I'm not going to argue with the boss. If the boss really needs something, I'm not going to even make them explain themselves, because remember, we are support services. I know, and I know you guys are listening to this and you're cringing saying, Jack, you're wrong. We were hired to protect the network. We would at all costs protect that server. Over our dead body, they won't use that storage space. Fine. When you're at the unemployment office, you tell the unemployment guy that as you're filling out your unemployment paper saying, this is why I got fired from my job, because I wouldn't give the CEO a little bit more storage space for something. Me? I'm going to help the guy out or help the girl out. And I'm going to say, look, help the woman and say, this is what's going to happen. We're going to give you a little bit more space if you need it. You know, don't be the network pirate, the network ass. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that everybody gets along with. You want to be the guy that supports everybody. Give the person more space. So this is where you would select the user tab. You'd go into the quotas and you would change the default. Limit disk space too, and you would set so much disk space. You can also say, do not limit the usage. Maybe you want to do that for those top-level administrators. You don't want to... I never want a call from the boss that says, Jack, I'm out of space. Jack, my email box is full. Jack, my PST file will not get any bigger. I don't understand. I don't need the boss calling me for that. If I have the users call me, I'll work with them and deal with them. Because that keeps me from being on the unemployment line. It keeps me gainfully employed, you know, and you just don't want the boss to call. You want the boss to call you and say, hey, Fred, you're doing a great job. Keep it up, my friend. The network's running fine. I can't believe how fast this wireless is. That's what you want your boss calling you for, not negativity. So you can say, hey, do not limit their disk usage. But if you do want to, and if you do, and I would suggest you do it, limit their usage. Keeps everybody safe and secure, right? Limit their disk space to something. Maybe if it's normally 200, give them 500. If it's normally 500, give them a gig. If it's 500 megabytes, give them a gig. Can't hurt. Set the warning level. I would suggest for all your top-level administrators, you set this warning level high enough that it's not going to bother them and upset them, just to give them a little nudge. Hey, be careful. And so they can call you at that point and say, hey, increase my space, please. If you want that phone call. Anyway, that's enough preaching to you guys and girls out there. I'm not here to preach to you about networks. I'm here to pay it forward. But I am here to tell you that, believe me, I've been doing this now for 27 years. I know how to keep people happy. I know how to keep things running smoothly. I know how to keep it secure and still allow people to use their computers. So many people say, If I lock it down, it'll be safe. What do you want to do? Eat lunch all day? Read a book? Take a nap? I don't live my life that way. I go to work. I work from start to finish. And then I go home. And I can sleep comfortably at night knowing it's all secure. That's what that's the main things in life, right? If you lock it all down, I'm sure it'll be secure, but you don't want to be that guy. Anyway, you can export your quotas on a volume. To export the quotas on a volume, if you ever want to export this stuff, click on quota settings page for the volume that you want to export the quotas from. Click quota entries to open the quota entries dialog box. Highlight the quotas you want to export and choose export from the quota menu. Type in the name and location of the export file and click save. This will save you, and we used this before once when we had somebody question us about, well, wait, you give Sally, because you like Sally. She's a friend of the tech department. I know she is. She has unlimited disk space. Why am I limited? How come I'm limited and Sally's not? Guess what? I ran this report and showed it and said, look, everybody is created equal. You have equal disk space. That's the way I run my servers. That's the way I run my network. Everybody is pretty equal. So that's a great report to have. You can run that anytime you want. Your boss might even ask you for that sometime. If you ever get audited, if you worry about state audits or anything, you know, if you work for colleges, if you work for school districts, you may get audited, and maybe those auditors want to see, hey, how do you manage your disk space, right? Because the state may be giving you money for storage, and they want to make sure that you're doing it wisely. They usually don't ask, but it's nice to be able to have that too. I'm going to read you the real world where somebody says here, just say no to disk quotas, all right? I'm going to read through this. Since we have a little time left in the podcast, I'm going to read through this and let you know how this works. Disk quotas, which were originally introduced in Windows 2000, were a big step forward and gave the Windows Systems Administrator a new invaluable tool to limit the spiraling growth of storage requirements on the server. But like many Microsoft versions 1.0 implementations, it wasn't a perfect solution. It's difficult to manage quotas effectively without creating too many exceptions to easily keep track of. You can apply quotas only on a per drive letter level, and they don't affect mounted volumes at all. And quotas are indiscriminate. They treat document files the same way as they treat MP3 files. Quotas also arrived too late on the scene. Just about the time disk quotas were introduced, the hard disk industry started to round a massive growth in hard drive size. At the same time, the price of even enterprise class hard drives have came down dramatically. Finally, with the introduction of the File Server Resource Manager, we now have folder level quotas and file type filterings. If you need quotas, we recommend that you use one of these, either File Server Resource Manager, using either folder level quotas or file type filtering. Now remember that script I told you about early on that I run on our servers? It does that file type filtering. It looks for MP3s, MOVs, MP4s, anything that I believe is taking up space, and it strips it from the folder, from the shared file folder, whoever it is, doesn't care whose it is. It strips it, it moves it to a storage drive that I set up, and then it creates a report that gets emailed to me in the morning. I can look at that report and I can say, oh my God, look at this person's downloading all this stuff every day, right? This is how you catch those people downloading. Maybe they're downloading a video, you know, big videos from YouTube, hours long videos from YouTube or something, and they're storing those on there. Or they're downloading all their iTunes. They plug their iPhone in or their iPod into their computer, and they download all their music onto your server. This helps you to keep track of that. But you can check on this. This file server resource manager, if anybody's out there has been using it or have used it or use it currently, I would wish that you would send me an email or give me a call on my voicemail line and let me know what you think about. How does it work? Is it only on the file server? I guess you'd have to install the role or the service for file server. But let me know how that goes. Let me know how that works. I mean, I would really like to hear more about that. Folks, I hope you have enjoyed the show tonight. I mean, our listenership for this podcast is going absolutely through the roof, and I'm very humbled for that. I enjoy that you enjoy listening to the show. I get a little bit of feedback, not as much as I want, because podcasters, we need that. When we're talking into this microphone and we're recording it onto, into an MP3 file for you, and I'm broadcasting live right now on Spreaker, and I have no live listeners. There's nobody in the chat room to talk, so I don't know. Outside the numbers, I don't know if anybody out there is actually picking this information up and sticking in there with me, but I have to believe it's so. Just seeing the numbers growing, I see that more people are listening. If you are listening, go to iTunes. And I know most tech people don't like iTunes, and I understand this. It's more of a household type of a utility, more than it is for the tech industry. I know you probably have other ways you pull your podcast down. But if you can, go to iTunes. I know it's probably on your computer anyway. Open it up. Go to the store and type in Jack's Tech Corner and look for this. There's three or four podcasts that I work on. So look for Tips from the Server Room. Click on that. And then click on Review and Ratings. Rate the podcast and give it a review. I would really appreciate if you would do that, because that's going to move our listenership up and get even more people tuning in. That's just a great way you can help the show. Another great way you can help support the show that I would really, and I know almost every podcaster in the world asks you to do this, because I've actually trained some people to podcast and I've taught them to ask the listeners to do this. On my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, there's an Amazon link. If you buy anything from Amazon, click on that link, and please, it doesn't cost you anything more. And I get like a small percentage back for the show to help pay for all the show stuff here that we need to pay for. So I would greatly appreciate that. If you have an ad blocker or something on, you have to shut that off on my website to see the ad, obviously, because it is a flash-based ad. But just click on that and just save it as a bookmark whenever you want to buy something. Folks, I want to thank everybody out there once again so much from the bottom of my heart for signing up for our server courses. And remember, if you don't have high-speed internet, you can still order the server videos on DVD by just visiting the website, Jack's Tech Corner, clicking on the pull-down menu. You'll see there says DVDs. You can buy those there. But folks, if you want to learn Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, or VMware ESXi Server, from install to administration. Somebody emailed me the other day and said, Jack, does your videos assume that we already know a lot of stuff? No. They basically assume that you're starting from ground zero and you're going to the top of the skyscraper. That's how I wrote these videos. That's how I wrote these videos, and that's how I put this together for you. So you want to check those out. You can sign up for those courses today. And I also had somebody email me the other day and said, Jack, your courses are too cheap. They must be garbage. The reason they're cheap is I have the great opportunity in my life right now to produce this stuff and to put it out there at a very low cost, because you're not supporting me to live, right? I work full time. I have clients that I deal with. You're not supporting me to live. You're not helping me pay my utility bills like a lot of these people do in these classes. You're not helping me pay my mortgage or anything like that. It's just a little bit of money that helps me put back into gear for my studio and to help keep, producing these shows. And that's why I do this stuff at a low cost. They're very high quality, just a very low cost. Somebody also said, Jack, well, somebody emailed me the other day and said, Jack, you don't update that website enough. I don't trust you. You must be a scammer. Well, like I tell my interns, if it's not broken, don't fix it. If it's running well, why mess with it? I don't update that website. It's not a website that I have to update it. It's a static thing. It's static. All the videos are there. You sign up for the course and you start right away. Because somebody emailed me one day and said, Jack, when does your next course start? As soon as you pay. get on, sign up, go through PayPal, put your money in there, boom, you're on the course and you're taking it. If it's 2 a.m. and I'm sleeping, you're starting your course. You're ready to go. You're ready to start learning. So anyway, check those out at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Just click on the online class link at the top of the page. Click on the course. They're self-paced. Watch a video. Take a 3 or 4 question quiz. And then at the end, I'll send you a certificate in the mail. These are very nice. One guy said, Jack, I actually framed the certificate and put it in my office, and people asked me about it every day. And I was so honored by that. It's so nice that somebody asked you about, hey, where's that course at? And then that guy signed up for it, another guy to sign up for the server course. So it's a wonderful way to do it. Anyway, I don't want to bother you here and baffle you with BS. You know, if you want to take them, fine. If you don't, I'm not preaching to you to take them, I'm not twisting your arm. I can just tell you that it will help you. Even if you've been doing this as long as I have, 27 years, just building those courses has helped me greatly to remember the basics. Because sometimes we forget the basics. And then it will help you drill down that advanced stuff into your head. So sign up for those today at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, I hope you have a great work week this week, if you can have such a thing. I know our weeks have been filled up with new stuff that we've been putting in, and we've been so busy. And my clients have been calling me every day with new stuff that I got to deal with. But that stuff pays the bills, and that's what's important to me. So keep it up. Keep out there. Keep working. Keep those servers moving on. You know what I mean? But pay it forward. Let me hear from you out there. Send me something. Email me and say, Jack, you're doing an absolutely horrible job on the podcast. Or just say, Jack, hey, thanks, man, for the podcast. My name's Bill from Arizona. Great to hear you on there every week. And, I have this question about a server or something. I would love to hear from you. But have a great work week. You know, take it easy. Take it as best as you can. Try to relax. This time of year, don't get too much heat or overheated. I'll catch you back here next Tuesday. Don't forget Spreaker. If you go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com and click on the top tab, it says radio show. It goes live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. Love to have you in there chatting along. Take care, everybody. I'll see you next Tuesday on Tips from the Server Room. Check this out. Let me put this in there. Tips from the Server Room. New mixer. We'll see you next week. Bye, folks. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.